The canon at the second is in triple meter. The third is duple, the fourth triple, the fifth, a third plus a third, in duple. The sixth and seventh both are duple meter and written in three voices. The canon at the octave is the first instance of the piece of any triple compound meter. 8 is 2 to the third power, and 9 is 3 to the second power. Thus, the question of why the canon at the ninth is in two voices is easily answered. 9 is especially significant, being 3 squared, so writing the last canon in two voices and in duple meter shows a desire for added emphasis of the 2-to-3 ratio. It is also interesting to note that the aria is in binary form, 4 equals 2 squared, but is in triple meter. One reason for bringing the aria back at the end of the piece should now be obvious to everybody. Aria plus 30 variations plus aria equals 32 units. The aria itself contains 32 measures. Not only does the number 32 obviously contain a 3 and a 2, but 32 is also 2 to the fifth power, and 5, of course, is 3 plus 2, and so forth and so on. The curtain of charity closes on this particular quote. Look, even if all of this was intentional, and it is obviously antithetical to Gould, who said that everything is subconscious, it is virtually unhearable. So it is unfortunately useless in understanding the expressive power and logic of the work from a listener's point of view. Well, my friends, when in doubt, turn to metaphysics. Wilfred Mellers writes in his book, Bach and the Dance of God. And now I quote Mr. Mellers. The Goldberg variations are poised between being and becoming. Their structure is completed in all directions, equally great in the middle from all directions. These words are Parmenides' description of unity, which is being, which is God. And when the Pythagoreans went on to say that all is number, they meant that any movement from unity was a process of becoming. The word number is etymologically related to the word name. Num in Hebrew represents a coming forth, a change from universality to differentiation. Nam means to individualize and to make distinct. Unity, God, is preexistent to consciousness. Numbers are the principles of the world on which nature is founded. By the way, this is a very Newtonian view of the world, of systems and order. One would wonder if Mellers had ever heard of Heisenberg or chaos theory. Action and reaction, movement and resistance, evolution and growth move throughout nature in rhythms and permutations that would seem to be mathematically exact. That is why, with its circular form, the work, though it encompasses a profound awareness of the complexities of human experience, appears to be timeless. The complements of the many in oneness of its contrapuntal mathematics, the center and the periphery of Parmenides' sphere become interchangeable, equal, smallest equals greatest, since God is manifest in all. In this sense, the Goldberg variations bear on the ancient Hermetic riddle of the identity of everywhere and nowhere. Such musical abstraction, which withdraws from the world, yet contains the world within itself, becomes the mainspring of Bach's creativity in his final works. Right. Unquote. Now, I will presently attempt a translation of this passage, presently when we get to the music itself. Though I do believe it or not, that Mellers comes very close to describing why the Goldberg variations do work. Unfortunately, though, in a manner that defies understanding by anyone who hasn't already come to the same conclusion, but from a different point of view. So the translation of this text will come in time, but not quite yet. My explanations for the unity and expressive power and the drama of the piece will make lots more sense once we've gotten to know the piece a bit more than we do right now. Nevertheless, let me introduce some of the concepts that I will follow through over the course of this and the following three lectures. Number one, the Goldberg Variations is a variations form work. Number two, in the Baroque, variations procedures were cyclical. Let me explain. During the Baroque era, if you were to write a piece that was a variations procedure piece, you would usually create a baseline. It was the harmony this baseline supported and the baseline itself that becomes the theme in a Baroque variations piece. I'll say that again because it's so important. It was the baseline and the harmonies implied by that baseline that becomes the theme in a variations piece during the Baroque.